April 11th at the home of Frank Tobot, Evansville Bettles. Okay, last time we were talking, you told a lot about the dogs you had and about skis, you know, using skis on the sled.
Yeah,
I was wondering if you made your own skis and what you made them out of.
Oh, sometimes we make our own skis out of birch trees. They work just about as good enough for our use. And sometimes we get skis from outside made. They work pretty good too.
Did you use skis any other way besides with the dogs?
No, I don't. I never use skis much. Only for steering the sled. I know I'm not any good on skis.
Do you know anybody who steers sleds that way now?
No, I don't see. We don't see those things anymore. They don't drive or hauling. Maybe there's some, but I never see them. No more, not many dog team up here anymore anyway.
I was wondering if you ever had your dogs pull your boat in the
boat?
Yeah.
Oh, lots. My wife is an expert on that. We had no motors those days, so we have to have a long line and pull the sled up the river with dog team. I've done that a lot too myself, all the way up to a lot in the river.
What kind of boat did you have when you...
We had this, you know, they call them pulling boats. Anywhere from 25 to 30 feet long.
What did those pulling boats look like?
Well, I don't know how to describe it.
Maybe you could draw me a little shape.
It's mostly... There are different ways. Some with a two sharp point, some square ones like this.
Same at both ends?
Yeah, this is the front end, you know. This is, sometimes this is sharp point. We had to use dogs for it. We have no dogs, we pull it ourselves.
Where do you hook the dogs up?
Well, anywhere around here, you know, and you'd have a long line so you could keep the boat out of from the shallow water and out in the deeper water.
And so they would just pull, how would they, walk on the bench?
Yeah, walk on the beach, you know, and somebody steers from behind.
How many dogs would it take to pull a boat?
Oh, it doesn't take much. Sometimes two dogs, three dogs will do, but sometimes five or six, they have easier time to pull.
About how far could they pull before they got a rest?
Well, they could pull all day long if you want to travel.
You said your wife is an expert at that.
Well, she's been pulling boat lots up to their fish camp, like I did myself.
How far? far was that from Alatna, that fish camp?
Oh, she was living down Kobuk.
Oh, Kobuk.
Yeah. Not too far, about 35 miles.
That's a good walk.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you have, nobody uses dogs now, huh?
I never see any more of that. But then nobody traveling up here. They all have motors on their boats now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that if they use dogs now, they'd have an easy time when it gets real shallow?
Yes, it's a lot easier. Little work, but it's... Young people don't like work anymore. So they, I think they're stuck if they don't have the outboard motors on their boat.
What would happen with the outboard motors when it gets real shallow here?
Well, most of people have a lift on the. On their motor, they lift the motor up when it gets shallow. And they get by pretty shallow water.
Oh, when you have the dogs pull the boat, the pulling boat, does someone have to walk with the dogs or they go by
themselves? Most of the time we have to walk with the dog.
So who would walk with the dogs and who would steer?
Anybody who wants to walk with the dog. I happen to be elected to that part.
You were elected. And who would steer while you're walking?
But one time I wasn't feeling too good. My dad took over. He lined the boat all the way up the head of Alatna River.
Do you ever remember pulling by yourself? You pulling instead of dogs pulling the boat?
Yes. A lot of time we pull the boat without dogs. I took 1,300 pounds of freight from Bettis to Wiseman one time and just pulling the boat myself, no dog.
Why? Who was steering that boat?
The guy is steering the boat, so that helped a lot.
Oh. And that was, were you getting paid to haul that freight?
Oh yeah, it was a mail trip and a freight beside.
Did you do that more than one time?
No, I just made that one trip to town. It was late in the fall when the scows were not running anymore, and I guess they want their mail pretty bad up that way too, late mail.
Oh boy, you get good pay for all that work?
I get paid. Sam Dubin don't pay very much, but he pays too.
No, pays enough to keep you working, right?
Yeah, just enough to get me going a little.
How far a walk was that with the boat, pulling that boat?
On a winter trail from Old Battles to Wiseman is 63 miles, I think. But a lot further by the river, a lot of bends on the river, make it a lot longer, I don't know how much.
And you pull that boat all the way?
Yeah.
Why? How long did that take you?
Oh, it took us 3 or 4 days, I think. The river happened to raise, and make it a lot of hard work. So, up to the bank, so made it very hard for us.
What was her name? Ella Anderson?
Maggie Eva.
And you couldn't rest any of that time. If you want to go up, you have to walk, right?
You mean, I mean,
the boat can never go by itself. You have
no, to no, no, it wouldn't move at all, and the boat wouldn't move up at all. And it pretty swift, pretty swift water on there, some places up there.
It's on flat land. It's
got a real hard pull out of tank.
Evans? Uh-huh. Mildred Evans?
Was that other person in the boat? Who was the other person in the boat with you?
No.
Oh, who else was with you?
Mildred Evans. Oh, I had to. Oh, that one is an Indian boy from Balakaka. He always goes with me, so he likes to go with me and he helped me up.
But she's Ella Toba.
Up that way.
What's his name?
Walter. Walter Koyuka.
Walter Koyuka. Did he ever pull, or you did all the pulling?
No, I done all the pulling. I think I could pull a little harder than he could. But he helped me in the boat there. Sometimes he'd take a pole and help the boat along.
James.
Boy.
Who is James?
Do any of the young people ever ask you about pulling dogs or pulling boats upriver? Because that's the problem between here and Wiseman, isn't it?
What?
Well, between here and Wiseman, the problem is it's pretty shallow, right?
Yeah, it's a little shallow, but those scows, about 15 ton scows, I guess, make a trip up that way every summer, but they were pulled by horses.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Al Winthrow?
Who?
Al Winthrow?
Winthrow, yeah.
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 Did you know his dad?
Yeah, I know his dad pretty well. He was up here a long time. No, I never worked with him.
Uh-huh. What about with Wilfred?
Wilfred?
Uh-huh.
I worked with him a lot.
Besides the lodge, what did you do with him?
Susie?
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to run the boat for him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He had some gasoline powered boats there, hauling freight.
Did he start this place called Evansville?
Yeah, well, Wilford moved up when he got a contract to put up that lodge down here. And he moved up.
Where did he move from?
Was that?
Where did he move up from?
Alakakit.
Oh.
Yeah, he was there quite a few years too in Alakakit.
Mm-hmm. So he moved, was he the first one in Evansville?
Yes.
And
he was the first one.
Oh. So is this place named after him?
And that's why they named it after him, I guess.
What other work did you do?
The work of it?
Other kind of work did you do?
Well, just help him get the logs and get that lodge started. And I went home and used to help him with the sawmill.
Did he have a sawmill?
He had a sawmill there, a little sawmill, to make up some lumber. Most of that lumber in that lodge was sawed up here.
Where else did he sell his lumber?
Nowhere. He just used it to, when he making his cabins and the lodge, he don't really sell lumber. Once in a while, he might sell boat lumber.
Mm-hmm. What kind of boat was it that he had that you worked on?
Oh, he had just a gasoline boat with maybe 100 horsepower motors on them.
100 horsepower? How much would he haul? Gasoline?
No, he'd haul She used to haul all this freight from Koyukuk to Allakaket. And haul his own freight and haul some freight for some people along the river too.
Oh, how big was that boat?
Well, it takes he hauled. She had 20 tons, probably 20 tons at a load.
Was that, what shape was that boat that?
Well, they were all kind of shape. He usually pushes a little barge, you know, small barge, that square boat.
You were talking about when you were a young boy that you liked springtime and that because there was all that daylight. Did you sleep much in springtime or summer when you were a little boy?
What?
Did you sleep very much when you were a little boy?
Well, I don't know. I don't think we sleep very much when everybody is in the village there. And I cook it. I think we stay up a couple of days sometime without sleep.
What would you do when you
nothing. Nothing, just playing around. Playing around.
I know what they do.
Where were all the older people?
Oh, the older people that sleep at night. Well, we call it at night because there's no night in the summer.
Yeah, how would you know it's night?
I don't know, when the sun gets low, I guess.
Yeah. Did you play different when the older folks were asleep, or did you play the same way as when they were awake?
Well, I don't know. It might be a little different when they sleep. I don't know much. We had never done much mischief or anything in my time. Not like the young people now.
Mm-hmm. Where would you play at when you play?
Just outdoors. And not cold, you know. Don't bother us at all.
Did you play in the village? Part, or did you go outside?
We don't go out too much. We play around the village mostly.
Did you play on the river?
Yes, we used to be in the river quite a bit when it's warm.
Did you make your own rafts and boats?
Not too much of that. I used to do it myself sometimes in place.
Did your parents let you use their boats when they weren't using it?
Oh yes, because they know we could handle it because we start handling the boat right when we could get around. So we know what the boat is.
Mm-hmm. So about how old is that when you can get around, when you start walking?
Yeah, well, that's a little too small to handle a boat, but you can go 5-6 years old, you can handle any boat. It's not too swift at Allakaket.
Do you remember the first time you got to handle the boat?
No, I can't remember. But we're on the boat all the time anyway, so I don't know when I started doing it myself. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever make rafts when you got older?
Log raft?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we used raft a lot sometimes. When we go out hunting, we have to come back with a raft. Make a raft if we have something to take home and float down.
tell what was going to be happening by the stars and by the sun. Did you learn very much of that?
About the weather?
Yeah.
In our time, we could put that tell what the weather would be like. Not all of it, but we could predict and we could know what's going to happen a little at that time. But now you cannot tell what the weather's going to be. There's something in the air that change all the weather now.
What kinds of things would help you predict the weather before?
Well, sometimes by the moon, that tells quite a bit about the weather.
How would the moon tell you that? What would the moon do that?
If it's going to snow, you see something around the moon. Sometimes a circle, sometimes right around it. And
what do they call that?
I don't know what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes you get a circle around the moon, sometimes way out, which means in a couple of days or so. And when it's right up at the moon, it's right away.
Wow.
Snow or something.
Mm-hmm. Would that circle get closer then to the moon?
Yeah. No, sometimes you get the moon, it's got a circle way out from the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows a storm is coming in. And not right away sometimes.
Mm-hmm. How would you know it's going to rain?
Well, we could put that tell by the looks at the moon.
Mm-hmm. Did the sun ever tell you anything about the weather?
Well, I think the only thing I could tell is the sun dogs. It shows it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
Sun dogs in the day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes up this way. It's really cold.
When it's real cold, what do you mean by up
the sun? Yeah, it's got to something going up from the sun like this.
What could you tell by the wind?
The wind, you look at the cloud, sometimes it can tell you that it's going to blow.
Do you have different names for the wind coming from different directions?
Yeah, we have our own name for them. North wind, east wind,
mm-hmm.
west wind, and south wind.
Do you, could you tell me what the Eskimo name is for west wind?
Yeah, west wind is Kanuk-Naruk. I don't know why they call it Kanuk-Naruk, because the Kobuk River is put near east and west, so they call it from west is down that way, and north is Nigakpak, that sometimes is cold wind from north. East wind is from Kibuknuk, all part of the river anyway. East and west is
south.
Malak is south. That I don't understand that word very much. But it shows that it's from the south, that's all I know.
Do you remember any big floods in Beddoes or Batna or
they had a fucking bit of something. And I wasn't around, I don't know how much it was, but I was in a flood there at Alakakit.
Do you remember a flood, a story about Big Betis when there was a flood after he had died quite a few years? Do you remember that happening or hear anything of that?
No. Big Betis used to live in down here at Old Betis quite a bit. We don't see them very much unless they come down for 4th of July and Christmas down in La Caca.
Oh, yeah, one thing, Rhoda. Was telling me about the time she was she left on the Teddy H.
Oh yeah.
And she said you were on the boat then, that you could tell about that time when you and your brother were on the boat and she went down and she was leaving here.
Yeah.
Could you tell me about that time?
Well, I don't remember too much. I know that she got on at, I think it was a Betis, I think. I think it was in Betis she got on the boat and she went all the way down to Mulato. Spent a couple of days there until the boat, the steamboat on the Yukon came along.
Yeah, she said that when she first went down, when she left Bettles, she thought she was just going on another river trip with her dad. You know, there's her dad and uncle, and so she went. And she didn't know she'd be leaving her people. Yeah. She said she didn't realize that until she went to get on that other steamboat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that when she went to go on the other steamboat?
Well, I remember they got on that boat. Yeah, boat don't stay very long, you know. It was those government boat.
Mm-hmm. What did you
Alaska Railroad boat.
Uh-huh. What did you think about her leaving home? Did you know if she was going to be living in Florida?
Yeah, we know. We thought it would be good for her.
Do you think she was lucky?
Well, some of us thought she was lucky.
Did others think she wasn't?
No. I don't know. She didn't know. She didn't know anything much about living in Alaska. She never got onto it very much before she left, I guess, or forgot all about it. And the food that she used to eat when she was small, she thinks they're no good to eat now, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, that's one thing that's that's one thing that she made mistake in there, and she cannot even talk a word of our language. She used to talk it before she left, and I can't see how she forgot every bit of it. I know some of the words should be in the head all the time.
So she doesn't remember any Eskimo?
No, she don't show it at all.
Does she ever ask you?
No, I don't think she wanted to know anyway. She thought she's a white person, I guess. Which she is. She's got a little white blood in her. Her mother was half-breed.
Irish.
I guess.
Uh-huh. What's her mother's name?
Eva.
Eva. What was her name before she got married?
Well, they call her Brazil, I guess.
Brazil.
Brazil, yeah.
Oh. Do any of Rhoda's kids, have they learned any Eskimo, any of her children?
Yeah. Who's?
Rhoda's children.
No. No, they don't know one word. They were not around here very much. They were up here a couple of years one time, I guess, while they were small. Mm-hmm. They live around other places, Anchorage and Homer, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's, would you say that's one of the examples of people changing, you know, things changing since 1900?
Well, I guess that's a lot of changes.
What do you think about the schools now?
About what?
The schools now.
I don't know what they probably learn a little more than we do. Because they could talk English. Only thing they talk now, these kids, is English. Mm-hmm. So they probably have a little easier time than we did. And besides, they were not studying the Bible and the common prayer book all day. So they might be learning a little better than we did.
Do you think there are things that they should be teaching kids in schools that they aren't? Like maybe things that you learned growing up that the school should teach now?
I don't know really what they're teaching in schools now, but they might be learning some things which we didn't have a chance to do when we were kids.
If you were to have a young son right now, what things would you want to teach him?
Well, I would try to let him learn, be in school more, and he would have a chance to get him to college so they learn something. I would do that now, but I didn't do very much when we had our children.
Mm-hmm. I might ask, what would be the most important thing that a kid could do? Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the most important thing that a child or a young man could do, or a young woman could do, say the kind of work they could do or the kinds of skills they should have, what the most important one would be?
I don't know what, I think they should learn mathematics and mostly business college, I guess. What children should learn now in order to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's most important up in this out there. Mm-hmm. Now we having all kind of trouble with the Land Claim Settlement Act and everything, and we do not enough to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving us a short end of that deal now.
Well, what's happening that you're getting the short end?
Well, one thing, taking all our land, most of it leave almost nothing for us, which was our land in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to take everything away. They're trying to take the best grounds around Alaska, one thing. And we don't know how to protect them from doing it.
Mm-hmm. Who's taking that land and what do they want to do with it?
Well, it's the federal government and the state.
Mm-hmm. And what are they going to use that land for?
I don't know what they want to use it for. They want the best part of the land and trying to give us something that doesn't work very much.
Mm-hmm.
What little they're giving us anyway, we're supposed to. We haven't got it yet.
What are they supposed to give you?
A piece of land, so many acres, and we haven't got it yet, and we don't know whether we'll get it even.
Is that for you up here in Bettles or all over Alaska that you're talking about?
That's most of Alaska. I think it's happening all over.
Mm-hmm. What do you think can be done about that?
Well, if we had schooling enough as much as they did, we would do something. We'd get what is ours. We're not asking for all of the land, but we want a good part of it. We thought we need the most part of it.
Well, you say that education is important. What do you think younger people should learn about Eskimo ways if they're Eskimo?
I don't know whether it do them very much good to learn all of the Eskimo ways now, but I think they should know some part of it in order to get along somewhere. In living and something else, I guess they should know a little bit about the old ways of living too.
What do you think would be the most important?
Well, like hunting, like we used to do, only living we had is by hunting and fishing. We had nothing much else to eat. Besides what we could kill and what fish we could get. That's all the living we had.
This is Wilfred Evans' brother.
Uh-huh.
We don't have very much this white food. If we work and earn some money, we buy some of that and help out our native food.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Who's that little kid?
Andrew.
What do you think would happen
that's your son?
If the young Eskimo and Indian children who are now going to school, what will happen if they don't learn some of people's ways?
I don't know. They'd have a hard time, but right now they're learning a little bit of their way of living. A few of them know a little about it, so they might when you come right down to it, maybe it would help them out.
Mm-hmm. What do you think might happen in the future to change things? Do you think, what kind of future do you see?
Well, one thing, the future is I don't think the future look very good. You take away, we're using a lot of food from outside now. Now, there might be times that farmers wouldn't have anything to eat, I mean, anything to grow. I mean, their farm wouldn't grow, and that will affect us mostly up this way, I guess. Maybe they wouldn't send anything, and we'd be stuck. We wouldn't have enough game to live on. And that's when I think it'll be starvation someday. Mm-hmm. Which would happen easy if the crop don't grow outside, which is happening a little now. It might happen that they don't grow anything at all.
What do you think would happen if there's starvation? Who do you think would be okay? Who would know how to take care of themselves?
Well, those people that could live on fish, if there's any fish around that could live a little while. Game is not plentiful. You can't depend on game anymore.
So who do you think those people might be, the ones who would fish?
Well, the ones that know how to fish, I guess. Which, I don't know whether fish will stay either. You can't tell, they might be gone too.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to some people who say they believe there might be some change in that at some point. The strong people, the powerful people, like shamans and medicine men, and how do you call an Eskimo,
Angatkuk.
Yeah, that they're going to come back.
They used to depend on those Angatkuk, but when I look at it, there is nothing that they could do. Do anything. They think the medicine man will change a lot of things. But to my knowledge, what I've seen some of them. I know that they never done any good. I don't see anywhere that they ever done any good.
What did they do?
They think they could do a lot of things, and I don't know. I don't believe on the medicine men much, mm-hmm. because I've never seen any good that ever come out of them.
Did they do bad things? They make trouble.
Well, they claim they could, but. I don't think they could change anything. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, I've never seen anything very bad that a medicine man could do, because I think that he could do nothing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe on them. They just imagine, I guess.
Yeah, that was one of the stories I had heard about Big Beater, that flood was because his coffin touched water. And the people at Alakakit, when they heard that, moved all their things up on high ground. Did some believe that? That flood time?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know if there are people now who still believe that?
No,
in the medicine
our young people, that's up here, I don't know about the Indian children down river, but up here, our kids here don't know anything about that medicine man and, or what he could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything about that. We never teach him anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was supposed to be big medicine man. I don't know, I didn't get on to him very much. I was pretty young when he died.
Mm. What was his name?
Mishak.
What was that again? Mishak?
Mishak, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I guess you want them, Sirtak, Mishak, and Abednego. I guess one of them, I guess. His name come from there.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things was he supposed to be able to do?
Well, I just heard some stories of what he do. I never seen him do anything because when he got real old, he didn't care much for that medicine man business, and he stopped